Now, I know many of you think that the Bible is full of dull reading. But often, when we look more closely and read passages like today, we find violence, sexual innuendo, and intrigue that are all central to the theme. Now, why in the world was this passage even selected to be read as part of a Sunday lectionary? It doesn't even say a word about Jesus in this section. Yet the gospel writer Mark thought it was important to include. And so this morning, let's take a look at what's happening in this dreadful and nightmarish story. First of all, we meet Herod Antipas. Not Herod the Great, who was in power at the time of Jesus' birth. Remember, he's the one who had all the male babies 2 years and younger slaughtered, thinking he'd kill off any future king of the Jews. The Herod in this story is his son, Herod Antipas, equally brutal and nasty, known to be a bit crazy and reckless. He was given pretty free rein over the Jewish people so long as it pleased Rome and avoided any major incident. So killing some two-bit prophet was irrelevant to the Romans, and it was all well within Herod's power. We're told that while Herod had John the Baptist arrested, he still was fascinated by the man, enjoyed listening to what he had to say, and he was more than a bit paranoid. Herod also was hesitant to mess with a possible man of God. Therefore, Herod kept John jailed and brought him only out for entertainment every now and then when the whim hit him. Behind the scenes, however, Herod's wife despised John. The prophet had publicly denounced his marriage and the despicable arrangement. She had previously divorced Antipas' half-brother, and the circumstances suggest that this was all a very messy family affair. Certainly not in keeping with Jewish Levitical law. Herodias had also had a daughter by the previous marriage. The names in the text get a bit muddied, but commentators suggest that the name of the girl was actually Salome. As Mark tells the story, Herod threw this big birthday bash to celebrate his birthday. Lots of important people were gathered there, and one could presume that the spirits were flowing rather generously. At one point, Salome offers to dance in honor of Herod. Now, if you read between the lines, it probably was a highly seductive dance to a well-juiced audience, and an even more reckless Herod, who, in seeing and enjoying the dance, offered Salome up to half of the kingdom in appreciation. Salome goes to her mother, who wants John the Baptist dead, and Salome even embellishes the request by asking for John's head on a platter right then and there. Can you imagine at a party such a grisly scene? By our standards, repulsive and disgusting. But powerful people do stupid and horrific things with little regard to how it affects others. Mark Skinner, professor of biblical studies at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, writes, "This scene emphasizes for anyone who needs convincing the cycles of misery and cruelty that ensnare the world. Human society inflicts as much harm as demons and death. Leaders' actions have widespread consequences. We don't always have the power to rein in the destructive potential of self-obsessed rulers, of toxic values, and an unwillingness to listen to the truth." But Herod Antipas and his household remind us that innocent people will suffer when we don't use the power available to us. There are two takeaways from this passage in Mark's gospel. The first is a remarkable and hopeful sign at the end of the story that's easy to miss. John's followers go to Herod and ask for the body of John in order to give him a proper burial. This is not just simply a token move. Crazy Herod might have chosen to kill them as well. They were bold enough to approach the ruler even in the midst of great evil and personal risk. They stood up to what was right and proper. The second point is that this is a forerunner of what will happen to Jesus, and quite honestly, often will happen to people who follow his word. Evil will often rear its ugly head, and goodness is always at risk. Being a person of faith will always have challenges. Doing the right thing may be rewarded sometimes, but vengeance is a dominant human theme. The good news in all this is that God in Christ has the last word. Yeah, the powers of evil crucified Jesus, but God answered on Easter. And our God continues to answer evil with good, as you testify to in the many wonderful things you do to live out the gospel in daily life. Doing the right thing is not always going to get you a big reward, but doing the right thing, standing up for what is right, is what God asks of us. Evil is very real, but the gospel and God's grace in our actions ultimately will prevail. Amen.